Our hope's not in this world. Our hope's not in our circumstances. Our hope's in Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. We're super excited about today's program because we believe that God is going to use this broadcast in your life in a mighty way, all for the praise of His glory. I invite you right now to take your Bible and join me in Matthew chapter 17, looking at verses 1 through 8, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, The Cost of Personal Revival.
God's not interested in you and I today saying, okay, God, you got my attention. How about I put you on the mantle with all my other idols? You think God's going to look at that and go, you know what? 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Sure, we'll settle for this. Let's negotiate. That's not what God does. God says this, you're either for me or you're against me. I mean, if you're going to ride the fence, you got to remember that Satan owns the fence. And here Peter is getting overshadowed. If you wish, he says, let's make these tabernacles. You know, I think it's so interesting when you think about that because these tents or tabernacles, again, go to the extent of the comfort. It's one thing to be on the mountain with Jesus, but man, we want to park our RV there, so to speak, or put up the pup tents there. Man, we're just wanting to bask there in His glory. And that's not a bad thing. Don't miss that. I think it's a good thing to be with Jesus. Amen? But we got to make sure that when Jesus comes off the mountain, when Jesus comes off your mountain and He begins to go down in your valley, don't stay on the mountain when Jesus is not there anymore. You got to go where Jesus is. And sometimes He leads into difficult territory. But aren't you glad that when Jesus leads into that difficult territory, aren't you so glad that when He does that, that He can be trusted, that He'll get you through, that you can be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord, that though He may slay us, yet we will trust in Him. No weapon formed against us will prosper. The psalmist says over and over, the multitude of my anxieties, your comforts, O God, delight my soul. Even though my flesh and my heart may fail, O you, God, are the strength of my heart, and you're my portion, my inheritance forever. Our hope's not in this world. Our hope's not in our circumstances. Our hope's in Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's why key number 2 I want you to write down in your notes. Write this down. Key number 2. If you desire personal revival, comma, if you desire personal revival, comma, God will interrupt you and He will overshadow you. Key number 2, if you desire personal revival, if you're here today and you're like, man, I'm ready. I'm signing up. Like, I want Jesus more than I want anything else. Buckle up. He's going to interrupt you and He's going to overshadow you. Stay through the pain. Stay through the difficulties. Press on. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame. And because He stayed the course, He now sits at the right hand of the Father because of His total unwavering obedience. How about you? Are you willing to walk that road today? I find it interesting that in that verse 5 that there's that phrase, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You guys ever heard that before? Remember Jesus' baptism? This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. Here he is now on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the voice out of the clouds is saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Does God look at me today? Does he look at you today? And does he look at our obedience to him and say, look, man, they're not perfect, but man, I'm well pleased in that child of mine, you. Can he say today truthfully to me, I'm well pleased? Remember, Paul said that we make it our aim to be well pleasing to God. That's our aim. That's our goal. We're not here to please man. That's a hopeless treadmill that's going nowhere. The applause of men is a trap door waiting to open. You stand for Christ and you suffer shame for his name, and let him handle the consequences of your obedience to him. He's big enough. He's got big shoulders. He can do it. But I like what he says at the end here. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. It's emphatic. It almost kind of sounds like a rebuke to Peter. Peter's opened his mouth. He's had to be interrupted. He's had to be overshadowed. And then all of a sudden you hear this voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But that's not the end. Hear him! Exclamation point. See, Jesus has important words for your life today. And if you're taking in the news and all that's going on in our world, that's a bunch of rubbish and nonsense. If you're feasting on that diet, a steady diet of nonsense, you got to remember the old phrase is so true. Garbage in, garbage out. Man, listen to Jesus. Put spiritual blinders on in a good way and just miss the lock on Jesus. Focus on him. The fiery darts are coming from every direction. As you're pressing into Jesus, the enemy and the spiritual attacks will come, promised, to try to get you off course. No, you stay pressed into Jesus. Say, nothing will deter me. I'm focused on my King and him alone. We don't take orders from Satan. We take orders from King Jesus. And oh, by the way, do you understand this? That what he said through the text there, you look at Revelation, you see there that he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. That is present tense. He's already the King of Kings. He's already the Lord of Lords. Oh, we don't have to think this is going to happen. We know our Jesus today. He rules and reigns. He's it, and there is none other. I love Luke chapter 5. Listen to this verse, verse 19, Luke 5, 19. Going back to this me-driven life that despises personal revival. Luke 5, 19, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and they let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. I love this account. You know the story. There's a man that's lame and he's got some buddies, and his buddies go, look, guys, we may need to cut the grass today. We may need to paint the house. But I know this, there's nothing more important than us getting this guy to Jesus. They drag him to the house there, and the house is filled because Jesus is talking. Jesus is preaching. He's teaching. And what happens in the midst of this, these guys go, okay, yeah, it's pretty full. Why don't we just take our guy back with us and we'll come back later? That's what happened, right? No, that's not what happened. You know the story. They got really creative because their mission was to get this guy to Jesus. And so they go on the housetop and they begin to take off the roof. Can you imagine what the homeowner was thinking? They're in there having a Bible study. And all of a sudden, if you're picturing even here today, that the tiles and all that happens in that house of that day, how it was constructed, begins to be pulled apart. Can you imagine what the homeowner was thinking? Oh, good grief. How am I ever going to pay this bill and fix the roof? I'm sure they were thinking something like that, but here's the great deal. These guys said, we got to get him to Jesus. And so they got creative, and they lowered him to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus saw their faith. Because they were willing to be overshadowed and to be interrupted. Isaiah 42:8. I love this one. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will give to no other, nor my praise to carved images. Do you see the overshadowing going on through Scripture? James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Being a doer in the original language is referring to action, not passivity, not, hey, I went to church today and that was great, and you know, the music was good and the sermon, yeah, was a little shaky, but hey, we'll go with it. No, this is simply be doers of the word. Take action. For the life that has really been transformed, obeying God is not a chore. If you're professing Jesus today and yet it's hard for you to obey God, I'd go back and check your salvation. Once you deny yourself and take up your cross, the following God and the obeying God is relatively easy. Now, here's what I've learned. When you deny you and you take up your cross and you begin to follow Jesus at any all cost, it really doesn't cost you anything, but it will cost the people around you greatly who don't truly believe as you do. I mean, if they got the American sanitized version of Jesus, we just kind of show up once a week, and yeah, we sing a song, we raise a hand, maybe offer a prayer, put a tip in the offering plate, but we go back to our life the remaining 6 days a week. Man, when you surrender totally to Jesus, that's going to make those people feel really uncomfortable. But what do? We're doers of the word, not hearers only. Why? Because James says, if you're a hearer only, you're deceiving yourself. How many people got up this morning going, I can't wait to deceive myself? Anybody? That'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it? But we do it. Matter of fact, in the Greek, that word deceive means this: to be seduced, to be lured, to be led astray. Drink the Kool-Aid, right? I'm just going wherever the Kool-Aid leads me. No, you go wherever Jesus leads you. He'll give you a hope and a future for your life today. Look at verse 6. It says this: and when the disciples heard it, don't miss that, here's how they responded. They fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. Key number 3, write it down. Key number 3, humility and trembling in God's presence always precede personal revival, period. Humility and trembling in God's presence always precede. They come before personal revival. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, preacher? I want personal revival, but I don't want humility and I don't want to tremble in the presence of God. Here's my response to you. Good luck. Let me know how this works out. It's not going to work out. You're going to get deeper and deeper enslaved into sin and despair and heartache and pain. Jesus says, look, here's the deal. When you come after me, this going forth of following me, of the denial, this taking up your cross, here's what it represents: a heart that is pliable, that's flexible, that's no longer stony, that's no longer hardened, the neck is no longer stiff. It's a heart of contrition. It's a life of humility. It's a life that says, oh, I tremble in your presence. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Well, just think of Isaiah 66, verse 2. This is what the Lord says. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and contrite in spirit. He's saying on one who is humble, and here's the second characteristic, and who trembles at my word. Now let me ask you a question today, church family. How many of you, by show of hands today, would desire that God look upon your life? I know I do. I want God to look on my life And if I want God to look on my life, there it is. I have to have a humble, contrite heart, and I got to begin to tremble at his words. What happened in America to thus saith the Lord? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of my God will stand forever. I love Luke chapter 5 again, 8 through 9. This is the account of the great catch of fish. And Simon Peter, when he saw it, there it is again, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. You know what we need to start doing in America today? I want us to be grateful for all that God does. That is a good thing. When God blesses you, when he blesses me, I pray that each one of us will run immediately to him and be like that leper that said, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you." But I pray we take it a whole notch higher. I pray we take it a whole step further. I pray we get out of this mindset that we only give thanks and praise God when he does something for us. Why don't we start being astonished at God for just who he is? God, you're it. If you're going my way, I love you. God, you're it. If you're not going my way, I still love you. God, if you go my way, you're awesome. I give you praise. God, if you don't go my way, you're awesome. You're amazing. I give you praise.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
And that's why Proverbs 22:4 tells us, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life." So think about verse 7 for a moment. This is the last part. It says this, "But Jesus came and he touched them. And he said, 'Arise and do not be afraid.'" I love that. Jesus touching them. Jesus has a heart of compassion. Amen. He touched these disciples. That's why key number four, personal revival requires trusting Jesus, which then produces boldness. Write that down. Key number four, personal revival requires trusting Jesus, which then produces boldness. I can never be bold for Jesus unless I first trust in Jesus. I got to trust him because the trust gives me the boldness. If I really don't trust him, how am I going to be bold for him? Jonathan Goforth said it like this. Listen closely. "If revival is being withheld from us, it's because," don't miss this, "some idol remains still enthroned in your life. Because we still insist in placing our reliance in human schemes. Because we still refuse to face the unchangeable truth that it's not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." I love these scriptures I'm going to read to you next. Just listen to these as they wash over your soul today. I pray that you'll begin to trust Jesus like never before. I pray you'll have a boldness like never before. Listen not to what I'm saying. These are not my words. This is the glorious word of God. Joshua 8:1. You guys probably know this, and you have it imprinted on a mug at home, I'm sure. Joshua 8:1. "Now the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid, nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go to Ai. See, I have given this into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, and his city. Do you see what God does? So many times, all throughout the Old Testament, you see this predominantly, that God says, I'm giving you the land. But even though he says, I'm giving it to you, they still had to go fight for it. See, he's going to give you peace. He's going to give you joy. But you still got to go out and live this life. You got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. I mean, there's something about a truly saved heart that now, as James tells us, that faith without works is dead. He's not saying that works save you. What he's saying is this: when you're really saved, then your works will give evidence of your salvation. I mean, you want to please him. You want to make a difference. You want to use your gifts and abilities to make much of him for the fame of his name. That's what you want to do when you're really saved. John 6:20. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus is talking here in John 6:20. He says, look, it is I, don't be afraid. The thought occurred to me that we often believe in Jesus, but how many times do we really believe Jesus? We'll say we believe in him, but how many times do we really believe him? Hey, it's I, do not be afraid. But Jesus, you don't understand what I'm facing. That's when Jesus speaks into my life and your life and says, you really don't understand who I am. If you think that what you're facing is greater than who I am, Jesus says, you don't know who I am. Because nothing is greater than King Jesus. Proverbs 28:1, one of my favorites. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I love that. And lastly, Acts 5:29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Peter answered and said, look, you guys are telling us we can't preach in the name of Jesus. Let me pause and pray about that. Here's our answer. We're going to obey God rather than you. We don't care what you do to us. Throw us in prison. Matter of fact, if you go all the way to the end of Acts 5, you see this, that in Acts 5:41, in that text leading up to that, it talks about them being imprisoned and beaten. And here they go doing their things. And it says this, they left the council rejoicing, counting it an honor to have shame for his name. That's a life that's either loony, or that's a life that's been radically rescued by the cross and the empty tomb. That's why the last verse is this, verse 8. And this is the key. Don't miss this. If you're asleep, wake up. Verse 8. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. I just love that. Man, that right there is the sermon. Let me ask you a question. When you look up, who do you see? Like, be honest. When you look up and you look out, who are you seeing? Are you seeing you and you're accomplishing your goals and dreams and what you're going to do? Or are you just seeing Jesus? Are you seeing you and Jesus? And man, you guys are somehow in this joint venture of kingship. Jesus is kind of like, okay, fine, you know, we'll just kind of share the throne together. That's not what he does. It's not how this thing works out. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. But this sanitized version of Jesus in the American church is destroying the American church. And we've got so many pastors right now that are playing games in the pulpit, and we got people playing games in the pews. I mean, it's high time we wake up. He's coming back. And we just can't tell people, say some hocus-pocus prayer, and he's somehow going to invade your life while you hang on to your life. This is serious. We've got to give your life to Christ. He doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want 3/4. He doesn't even want 15/16. He wants all of you. And yet here we are living in this culture that is this easy believism. He's here to bless us and be our cosmic Santa Claus, our divine butler, our genie in the bottle, our spiritual vending machine. That's not scriptural. It will lead you away from the Lord, not to the Lord. That's why key number five, the last key, is simply this. Key number five, personal revival requires a focus on Jesus and Him alone. That's very simple. The last key that I want you to write down is key number five in personal revival. If you're really here today saying, yeah, I want to be in for Jesus, I want to make a difference, I want to give my life totally to Him, then you have to be focused on Him and Him alone and nothing else. He has to be first and foremost in your marriage, first and foremost in your work, first and foremost in your life. He has to be first. I love what John 15 says. John 15, because you can't be focused on self and it's still on Jesus at the same time. It doesn't work. John 15, 4 through 5, it's the great account of the vine. And it says this in verse 4, abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. That's a good thing. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. That word abide is in the Greek is meno, and it means this, to simply be tethered to be anchored to. That no matter what you go through, the challenges, the heartache, and the pain, you're staying tethered to the vine. And here's what he says. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Don't miss that. Unless you abide in me, Jesus says. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And you know the last part. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. See, the key to your life is not that you go out and produce the fruit. No. Too many people are trying that. No, you just stay tethered to Jesus. And the fruit that needs to be born from your life will be born. Because as Ravenhill said, and he said it well, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. As long as we are content to live without revival, we will. That's why the last verse I want to read to you, two verses. It's from Hebrews, and I alluded to it earlier, but I wanted to finish it off with, I pray, a crescendo that will drive this point home, that it's all about Jesus and His glory and His fame. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, very famous text. Therefore, in light of what was just said in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, don't miss this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, church family, today, let us throw off everything that's hindering us today. What is not of God, all the idols that we have in our hearts and our minds and our soul, let's cast these off today. Don't carry those around. Oh, idols do this 100% of the time. Idols overpromise and always underdeliver. Oh, we think if I just have this idol, I'm finally going to have my pain dulled. I'm finally going to have my void filled. It will always lead you to a hopeless path going nowhere. Oh, we look unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher. He's the starter and he's the ender. He's the perfecter of your faith today. Look to him and be saved. Question as I close. Do you desire personal revival? Think on that for just a moment. Do you? Answer honestly. Yes? No? Maybe? Don't care? Do you desire personal revival? Second question. When you look up, who are you seeing? When you look up today, who or what are you seeing? I pray all you see is Jesus. How many today are willing to be the one that says, I'll be the kindling. I'll be the kindling that starts the revival. I'll put my life on the altar today. And so, oh God, use me as a living sacrifice to start the revival. I'll be the kindling. Will that be you today? Let's pray together now. Oh, Father, we come before you and we lift up holy hands to you. We raise our hearts to heaven. And I pray, God, that we would be, from this moment forward, yielded vessels to you. And God, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.